good. Thank you.
Thank you, good Samaritan. If you didn't help me, I would still be lying on the road.
And Jesus said, now which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? The law expert replied, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, yes, now you go and do the same.
And give these kids a hand clap. They did good.
All right, thank you, Clint, and Levi, the Levite, and Amber Lee, and Mr. and Miss Bailey. We had so much fun on our last youth Sunday when we did a little reenactment of the paralyzed man that his four friends brought him to Jesus, but the house was packed out. And so they lower him through the roof. And so you may recall their next sermon while I was speaking. In the middle of my sermon, here come Clint and his buddy bring Levi in on the stretcher in front of me. That's how we kind of reenacted how that would have been for the folks. Today's reading comes from, as mentioned by Miss Bailey there, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 and following. And this is a story many of us have heard about, and it's used in our everyday language, in fact, as part of our culture. And so here now these words. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what did the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him. Then a temple assistant, a Levite, walked over and looked at him lying there. But he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill is run higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. Now, we know this as the parable of the Good Samaritan. But you will note in the entire scripture that I read, he is not referred to as a Good Samaritan. In fact, Jesus referred to him as the despised Samaritan. Okay? There's something that's got attached later on, the name of Good Samaritan. And it almost sounds a little strange to think about. We wouldn't say, you know, the good Jewish guy or the good white guy, the good black guy, you know. But the Samaritans were so hated in that society, so despised, that it's almost like an oxymoron. Well, this was a good Samaritan, as though a Samaritan can be good. I'm reminded from our own U.S. history, General Phil Sheridan, who back in the 1860s and 70s made a comment about how the only good Indian was a dead Indian. He did not like Indians. The Jewish people did not get along at all with their Samaritan neighbors. Didn't like them. And there was bad blood between the two that go back hundreds of years. And the Samaritans had their place of worship up in the mountains, as we talked about during our sermon with the woman at the well, who was a Samaritan. And the Jewish people had their place of worship in Jerusalem, on Zion's hill there. And at one point, the Jewish people had went up to Samaria and destroyed the Samaritan temple. And they had fought battles with each other throughout the years. So there was bad blood between the two. Now, the funny thing is, if you go to the land of Israel now, the Samaritans are still there. They haven't left. And to someone who's Roman, like ourselves, we look at them and think, well, you guys look Jewish to me. But they'd be very quick to tell you, we're not Jewish. And the Jewish person would be very quick to say, no, we're not Samaritans. You know, we're different. It's kind of like how, back in 2003, we went to Iraq, and Iraq knew had Sunni Muslims and Shia Muslims and Kurds. And to an outsider, they all look alike. But to themselves, they're like, no. We got lots of differences between ourselves. We got long histories. And, we're no different over here in the United States. We don't need to act like we are. You know, we got our different. Well, we say, no, we're from McMinn County. You know, we're not like those people from Polk. We're Megs. And then football season's coming along, right? We're all wearing our UT orange, and Herb's there got that little Alabama shirt on, right? And so we have our own differences. You know, so my rat come here, like, they all look alike to me. I'm like, no, we're not the same. No. And this is how funny it is about differences, is that something that might be obvious to you might not be obvious to someone else from a different culture. And so on this particular day, this religious leader stands up, this lawyer, one expert, and says, now, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus pulls his little Jesus trick up. Instead of answering the question, he just asks another question. And he says, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? And so the guy says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength of mind. Love your neighbors yourself. That's from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And in the other Gospels, Jesus gives that same answer. So I don't know if this guy came up on his own, or he knew Jesus was giving that out as an answer, liked it. But Jesus says, right, do this and you will live. But the man wants to justify his actions. And so he says, now who is my neighbor? Well, that's a good question, though. You know how lawyers are. Who is my neighbor? How do you define neighbor? And he probably thought, you say, well, a neighbor is someone who, fill in the blank. You know, is it geographic? You know, is there so many miles of all this? Is it about your skin color, your culture? Is it family relationships? How is this? But Jesus says, let me tell you a story. He said, we got a Jewish man, and he was traveling down the Jericho Road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And that was a very dangerous road to be on. And apparently this man didn't have any friends, because he's there by himself. You know, there's safety in numbers. There's a reason why people back then would travel together, you know, and there's safety involved. And then he got attacked by bandits. In our culture, we would say he might have got carjacked. He was at the gas station after hours and got the gun pulled on and mugged. And what did? They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, left him half dead beside the road. See, these guys were professionals. They didn't just want to rob him. They thought, if we do that, he might run down to the cops and tell them what we looked like. But we won't kill him either, though. Then we'd be murderers, and they might come looking for us. So we'll just rough him up real good and give him a concussion. This way he can't remember who we were. And so here's this poor man. He's on the side of the road here. He needs help. And he doesn't have no 911 to dial come to his rescue. So he's just depending on somebody to come by. Well, he's in luck. Here comes the priest. So the priest comes along, sees a man lying there. What does he do? He gets on the other side of the road and passing by. He gets another lane. Well, then we have another guy, the temple assistant, the Levite. Now, earlier we had Levi the Levite coming through here, right? And what did he do? Well, he slowed down, saw what's happened, built his turn signal, got another lane, and he passing by. Well, so far we're 2 for 2, man. It's not good. And then we get a despised Samaritan. And no doubt Jesus' listeners thought, well, we know how this one worked out. You know, I thought, I mean, this guy's Jewish and this guy's Samaritan. You know, he might run him over. He might just finish the job off. But when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. How many ever heard that saying, there but for the grace of God goes me, goes I. Hello. Yes, the Lord wants you to hear that real good, Amberly. Got my attention. No. This Samaritan was able to look at this guy and says, that could have been me. Because he's going down the road by himself too, apparently. He thought, I could have been the one who got mugged. Think about that. When you turn on the TV and the news and see somebody got robbed or stabbed and such, most of the time, they didn't do anything wrong. They were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was just by dumb luck. They came through and got robbed, and then you could come through just a little while later. Had nothing to do with it. And this Samaritan felt compassion. And so instead of going to the other side of the road, he goes over to him. He gives him some first aid. He gives him olive oil and wines, bandages his wounds, and then bandages him up. And then the Samaritan puts the man on his donkey. So the Samaritan now has to walk because now somebody is taking his ride. And he takes him to the local inn and takes care of him. The next day, he hands the innkeeper 2 coins and tells him, now, take care of my friend here. And if it costs more than this, I'll take care of it when I come back. And so then Jesus asks another question. Like I said, Jesus likes to ask questions to the questions. Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? And notice the Lord did not say it was the good Samaritan. He didn't even say it was that spy Samaritan. He wouldn't even say it was that no good Samaritan. All he could say was the one who showed him mercy. That's a very good lawyer way of saying that, isn't it? See, he couldn't bring himself to say Samaritan. He had to be sneaky about it and say, the one who showed him mercy. And then Jesus said, yes, I'm going to do the same. Now, how would that look like in our society? Would that be like somebody going to the gas station at night, perhaps, and filling up with gas, and the car's filled up, and next thing you know, they're getting mugged, and they're inside 411 here, all messed up. Need somebody coming to their rescue. And then God helps us, Sunday morning comes up, and here comes the pastor. Oh my goodness, they're all messed up. They might get blood in my necktie. I can't do this. I got to get to Mars Hill and do my sermon. I got 2 of them that I got to do. Put the pedal to the metal and zoom on by. And then got the temple assistant. That'd be the lay leader. That'd be you, Herb. You come driving by and go, oh, man, he's like he's hurt. Somebody should take him to the hospital. But this is my day off. I ain't going to the hospital today. Herb gets the pedal to the metal and zoom on by. And then a despised Samaritan. Now, what would that be? Now, who would that be that they came in we'd be super uncomfortable with in our culture? Would it be somebody from Mexico that we didn't recognize? Or maybe somebody from the Middle East wearing their gear? Somebody with a Russian accent? Somebody from Iran, you know? I mean, who, you know, who would it be? You know, it'd be someone that we recognize. I'm like, you know, I don't know about this. Who would it be? Yeah. And I can't answer that question because that just depends on where you are in life. But who would it be? Who would be that person that they came by you in your car? You know, you push that little lock the door feature. You know how that is, right? Yeah. You're there in your car at a red light, and somebody comes by and like, my door is locked. Yeah. That person. That person comes by and slows down and says, oh, my goodness, that person's been injured, and pulls over, gets out and opens the trunk, gets out their first aid kit and does some basic first aid to stop the bleeding, picks them up, and doing so, get blood on their clothes and puts them back in the car there and takes them down to the hospital and takes them in and helps file a police report. And then what's really crazy is they tell the hospital, hey, now, here's some money. And if this doesn't cover it, and if the Blue Cross Blue Shield doesn't cover it, if the 10 care doesn't cover it, if the Obamacare doesn't cover it, get to me, the Samaritan Care will take care of it. Here's my business card. Send me the bill. Now, who would do that? And then he leaves. He doesn't stick around for recognition. So, who is our neighbor? So, is our neighbor just a person who lives in Englewood? Well, I live in Calhoun. That means I wouldn't be your neighbor then, wouldn't it? Or maybe it's just the folks on this side of the creek in McMinn County. Because you know how it is during basketball, football season, right? We got this side. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Amberly. And that McMinn side, we don't like them, right? Right, McMinn Central, right? East side, western side, McMinn. Or we say, well, no. All of us in McMinn County are neighbors, you know, because we like each other. It's that Polk County bunch, the little Mez County Tigers, and that Scory bunch. Or we say, well, no, we're Southeast Tennessee. They're our neighbors. Well, no, football season come along, and we're Tennesseans. Unless you're wearing Alabama, you know, that scarlet letter. Or we say, you know, we're from the South, man. We got Southern hospitality. You know, we take care of ourselves. And, you know. Or after 9/11, you know, we get very patriotic. No, we're Americans, United States. Or maybe we say, well, no, we're in the North America. We got Canada, Mexico. They're our neighbors. No, how do you draw that? And Jesus' point was, when it comes to neighbors, it doesn't have anything to do with your geography, your race, or religion. It's about showing compassion to someone, the one who showed him mercy. Now, I'm going to read you a little scripture from the Old Testament here. I'm sure how far back this bad blood goes. Okay? This is from the time of King Ahaz. Say Chronicles chapter 28. And Ahaz is actually an ancestor of Jesus. So if Jesus got on his ancestry.com and 23andMe and did the family tree, Ahaz be there. And you may recall how the land of the kingdom had three kings, King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. The kingdom was split in two. And you had a kingdom in Judah. In the kingdom of Israel. And Ahaz is the king of Judah. He has Jerusalem as the capital. And Judah kings were hit and miss. You had some good ones, you had some bad ones, and go back and forth. The kings of Israel, they're just all bad. The worst one being a guy named Ahab. And so they would fight one another. Now, listen to this. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. Now, you thought it was bad when the 16-year-old got a driver's license. This guy was 20 and became king. And he reigned in Israel 16 years. He did not do what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord, as his ancestor David had done. Instead, he followed the example of the kings of Israel. He cast male images for the worship of Baal. He offered sacrifices in the valley of Ben-Himeon. And listen to this, he even sacrificed his own sons in the fire. This King Ahaz was so wicked and so ungodly that he even committed child sacrifice. In verse 5, because of all this, the Lord his God allowed the king of Aram, that's a kingdom nearby, to defeat Ahaz, to exile large numbers of his people to Damascus. Okay, it's like Syria. And listen to this. And the armies of the king of Israel also defeated Ahaz and inflicted many casualties on his army. Now Israel will be what is now modern-day Samaria in the time of Jesus. So the Samaritan ancestors joined in on this and attacked the kingdom of Judah. And it said, in that single day, Pekah, the son of Ramiel, Israel's king, killed 120,000 of Judah's troops, all of them experienced warriors, because he abandoned the Lord. Okay. And then it says, the armies of Israel captured 200,000 women and children from Judah and seized tremendous amounts of plunder, which they took back to Samaria. So think about that. They had a battle, and 200,000 women and children were captured, taken from Judah, and were brought back to Samaria, right? The Samaritans. But, a prophet of the Lord named Oded was there in Samaria. And when the army of Israel returned home, he went out to meet them and said, "The Lord, the God of your ancestors, was angry with Judah and led you to defeat them. But you have gone too far, killing them without mercy." Without mercy. What did Jesus say? The one who showed him mercy? "And all heaven disturbed. And now you are planning to make slaves of these people from Judah and Jerusalem? What about your own sins against the Lord your God? Listen to me and return these prisoners you have taken, for they are your own relatives. Watch out, because now the Lord's fierce anger has been turned against you." So, in other words, the army comes back to Samaria, and they got 200,000 women and children enslaved, and they're just having a good old time. And the prophet says, "What have you done? The Lord allowed you to defeat the kingdom of Judah because of their sin and wickedness and child sacrifices. But you killed people without mercy. And now you're going to make slaves out of these Jewish people who are your relatives. What were you thinking? What about your sins? You do this, the Lord's anger is going to turn against them to you." And then it says, "And some leaders of Israel," and names these four men, "agree with this. And they confirmed the men returning from battle and said, 'You must not bring the prisoners here. We cannot afford to add our sins and guilt. Our guilt is already great, and the Lord's fierce anger is already turned against Israel.'" Okay. So what did they do? So the warriors released the prisoners and handed over plunder in the sight of the leaders to all the people. Then the four men just mentioned by name came forward and distributed clothes from the plunder to the prisoners who were naked. Remember how the Jewish guy got stripped of all of his clothing? They provided clothing and sandals to wear, gave them enough food and drink, and dressed their wounds with olive oil. What did the Good Samaritan do? He anointed that Jewish man with oil in his wounds. They put those who were weak on donkeys. And took all the prisoners back to their own people in Jericho, the city of palms. Then they returned to Samaria. You see, I think Jesus is being a little sneaky with this story. Because notice how that story from the Book of Chronicles has lots of parallels to the Good Samaritan. You had two armies clash, and one army is bringing back a bunch of prisoners of war. Then the prophet God comes out and says, this is a sin. These are your relatives. You've been merciless. Send them back home, their people. And what do? They repented. They clothed those who had no clothes. They bound up the wounds of those who had been wounded. And those who were unable to walk, they sent them on donkeys and brought them back to Jericho to be with their people. The Good Samaritan. Now, this story has become so part of society, we even have what's called Good Samaritan laws, right? Where if you help somebody out, they can't turn around and sue you in court because you messed up. You were a Good Samaritan. And I remember a little over a year ago at this point, one night I was walking the dogs, and it's around sunset, and we walked past County Elementary, and I saw a car parked in front of County Elementary, and the trunk was open, and I thought, well, somebody's working late tonight. Well, when I came back third, the car was still there. And I thought, that's strange, you know. And I looked closer, and the guy had a flat tire. So I got home, put the dogs up, gave him a snack. I put on my central shirt, my central dog tags there, so that he knew who I was. I went back and pulled in behind on my headlights on. I got out and said, sir, can I help you? He said, well, I said, my tire went flat, and I got a spare tire, but I don't have the lug wrench to get my tire off. And my son's coming down from Mexico County to take the tire off for me. So I opened my trunk up, and I said, will this help? And he said, yes, it would. And so he got on his phone, called his son, and he said, hey, son, I don't need you to come. A friend of mine showed up. He just met me. A friend of mine just showed up, and I'm in good shape now. And 5 minutes, he had that tire off, a new one on. And what was, this showed him a little over a year ago, he was a delivery man for the Day Post Athenian. And he didn't have one route. He had two routes he was driving that night. And I thought, well, this explains why the paper's been coming in around midnight. I mean, that's bad when the paper actually came in the mailbox, paper box. Now it comes in the mailbox, you know. And what was funny was, is that afterwards, if I was walking the dog and he saw me, he would pull up and chit-chat with me, and then he'd give me a free newspaper. And I thought, you know, that is a mini version of being a Good Samaritan. I could have gone home and said, well, I hope he, but I wanted to make sure the guy was all right. So my question for you this morning is, who's your neighbor? Who are we in this story? I hope we're not the pastor and the lay leader who went by and zoomed up. Let's not be like them. No. Are you being the Good Samaritan? Are you the person when you see someone suffering, it doesn't matter their religion, their race, their ancestry, where they come from, their politics? I want to help them out. Or maybe you're the person on the side of the road there. You need help. Are you humble enough to accept help as God sees fit to send it? If today you were injured and somebody from Russia came by, would you accept it? You're like, ah, you're Russian. You know, who is our neighbor? The one who showed him mercy. The one who had compassion on him. As Christians, every person we meet is our neighbor. There's somebody created in the image of God, someone that Jesus died for on the cross. And if we're in a position to help them, we should do that. And so note that in the story, the two religious folks, they went on their way. The one person who wasn't religious, wasn't a professional, what did he do? He stopped and helped them. And now when we say, I need a Good Samaritan, we all know what someone talks about. It's part of our culture. So what about you this morning? Are you going to be a Good Samaritan, the good neighbor? Are you going to be the person when you see someone hurting, like, it doesn't matter their politics, their religion, their skin color? All I know is I see a human being suffering, and I want to do what I can to help them. Or you're going to be the lot of religious folks and say, well, I got to do the Lord's work, and you pass them on by. That won't work. I think that someone was injured out here, and I passing by, come here, and you all heard about it, you'd be mad at me, and for good reason. Because he's like, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about on Sunday morning. No. That Levi and that priest, they should have stopped and helped that poor man out. And we sometimes say, well, someone else can do it. No. We need to quit doing this, someone else can do it. And like, I'm here, right now. This is an opportunity, and I need to take advantage of it. I'm going to be a blessing to my neighbor. So my challenge for you this morning is, who is your neighbor? It's everyone you show mercy to. Everyone you show compassion to. Whatsoever you do to the least of these, my brothers, you did this also to me. So let's make sure our eyes are open, our hearts are open. And we see someone hurting or suffering, we do what we can to help them out. Thanks be to God. Amen.